Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Craig Martin. This is the Inside Connection coming to you live from Los Angeles. I'm here with Christina Martin. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Craig. Hi, Dr. Craig. How you doing?
I'm good. Really good, actually. Like, the week has been good. I like how Venus and Mars are moving together through Aquarius. They're just starting to separate a little bit. You know, they're like 1 degree apart. They're still very together. It's kind of nice. Mm. Been very nice for Aquarians to have this kind of energy, because it's providing a lot of love and a lot of action, right? So there's,
yes,
they have strong ability to take action, and there could be the downside of a little bit of irritability, but in general, Mars is bringing good action with Mars in Aquarius. I don't think it's a bad combination for Mars in Aquarius. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no.
Planet in the sign. Seems
yeah,
okay,
not
right?
At all. It's very, you know, there's a thought behind, there's some, you know, processing, intellectual, logical processing behind Mars, which is really nice
yeah.
combo. Sometimes Mars is so primal, go, 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 not thinking. So it's nice. It is nice. You get a
yeah.
little focus.
Venus in Aquarius is a little bit more funky because, you know, Aquarius is a little cool, a little detached. There's something nice about the Aquarian humanitarian aspect. So you
mm-hmm.
have a little love is charitable, love is humanitarian. That's nice. And I think, you know, deserves a shout out to the Ukrainians who are suffering so much, and how we over here have made donations to the refugees. So that's good. And if you're interested in that, you can find reputable companies online, and you can find some Venus and Aquarius energy in your own heart. So that's something nice. But I think also Venus and Aquarius in like an interrelationship situation could also have that kind of coldness. It's a little too cerebral for Venus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say it's like so much about like thinking and planning and what can make him better rather than more go with the flow. I mean, there's an openness, which you really do need in a loving relationship and friendship, which is beautiful. But yeah, there's getting into the thick of it, dealing with your partner's maybe emotional state is not the, you know, Venus and Aquarius, maybe not wanting to deal with that so much. Not
Great.
Wanting to feel
Great.
It.
But she's social. So,
she is a social girl.
And
yes.
we're definitely out there having social times. So, see, you know, the moon is already in Virgo, and we called for the show to be about the full moon that's coming in another 15, 26 hours maybe from now, and a little day mm-hmm. and a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little bit, we'll sort of say later in the day if you're on the East Coast or if you're in Europe, but in California, the full moon will be tomorrow. And it's a good moon. It really is, because it's the moon to me that represents spring cleaning. Right? Like
uh-huh.
If you're going to, cause it's Virgo and it's about getting things tidy and getting things ready, because right, there's going to be a trajectory. Like it's just 3.5 days till Aries, everybody. And so we're going to finally get some permanent fire in the chart. For weeks and months, it's been no fire, no planets in fire. And we're finally going to get the sun in a fire sign, which is going to change the dynamic incredibly. There will be a lot more creative energy, a lot more initiative, a lot more motivation, a lot more excitement. And I think there's some good things in store for us, because Jupiter is headed there as well, into Aries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, the Jupiter in Pisces has been nice and very artistic. I don't know about you, but my dreams have been really interesting as of late. And
powerful.
So, right, that's a lot of fun. But yeah, I agree with you. This Virgo moon feels like it is time to clean. I'm noticing my neighbors are cleaning out. There's a couple people that are making moves, they're moving. And so again, there's another moment of, you know, decluttering, making space for the new creative energy. Yeah.
Renewal, preparing for renewal. So all this Pisces energy, Sun in Pisces, Mercury in Pisces, Jupiter in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces is going to very quickly yield to Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when potential turns into physical reality, right?
Mm.
Like when there's stored energy in a bulb, you know, that's underground, like a flower bulb, and then it breaks the surface of the dirt and starts to produce its flower.
Mm-hmm.
This is how Pisces turns into Aries. It takes the potential that's being stored up and then makes it in a tangible, but it puts the energy out on the stage, so to speak.
Mm.
So it's like fire is very revealing.
Mm.
Water is very, in a way, very introverted. And fire always follows water. So in that, in the process of the chart, you know, when we're in a watery phase, like we're still in the last piece of winter, we're all really mulling over things that need to be modified, how to mold something, how to turn it into something usable, it's not about anything new. And yet all that energy of modification then results in something new.
Right. Right. All the, like, I love that. Yeah. The processing. I'm thinking too, like when you meet maybe a person, like a new person, and they like create a spark for you, or they awaken some dormant interest that you had, and the way that they live their life shows you that you can have that interest too in a more outward expressive way. That feels like that moment between being on the inside and quiet and almost subconscious, or you think about it every once in a while and then it doesn't, you know, you don't do anything about it, and then something happens, there's a spark. And outward,
I think
expression.
That's exactly right. I think that's exactly right. And I love the way you described it, because it is. Things that are in the unconscious are about to become conscious. Right? Like on multiple levels, you don't just have four planets in Pisces and then have them shift in a major way, including one of the outer planets, into Aries all in the next 30 days and not have that represent something coming out of us as passion and motivation. I don't know if that means that, like, Europe will be drawn into the war. I don't, you know, in that way, like in a global way, if we look at it from, you know, global energy. But I know on a personal level, it definitely represents the actions that we're going to be taking that have been stewing around in our unconscious for a long time. There's action that needs to be taken, and that's Aries.
Right, right. And maybe using this Virgo moon to declutter that processing, or that thing that you want to launch, you know, like hopefully the launch point is clear, ready for takeoff, and a positive thing. You don't want to launch, you know, into the anger or right. No launching duds here with this Virgo full moon.
That's why I think it's also about attending to the details of the unconscious process, paying attention to your dreams, paying attention to the more subtle signals that are coming from your body, paying attention to the areas of clutter, paying attention to the details, right? We got to step up the game, people, and we have to look at plan and the details of that plan, because we're about to make a move.
And, you know, the plan is still in play with all this Aquarius. Sometimes I think Aquariuses are great planners because they're thinking about the future, and it's very cerebral. So using the Mars-Venus energy to help the plan, think about the plan logically, and then,
Yeah, and the Virgo moon is analytical and discerning and capable of, like, splitting hairs on a lot of nuance, which can be very powerful. It can be very powerful. Like, sometimes maybe you would say details are kind of moot and they don't matter. You know, maybe, right? Does it matter if you go to the grocery store and buy, you know, yellow tulips or purple ones, right? Some details are more just a matter of personal preference, but some details really do matter, you know, like, you know, are you bringing tulips over to someone's house who's allergic to them? You know, like those details matter, and sometimes we don't pay attention to them. It's funny, I use the word mindful, mindful with my son today. And that's what's coming. That's what's coming to mind right now about mindfulness, because sometimes we could say, like, you know, pay no mind to the man behind the curtain, or do you have a mind for that? You know, meaning where your mind is focused, and that seems very Virgo. Mindfulness seems very Virgo to say, here's a project or something that you need to do, and can you direct your mind there? Can you be mindful of other people's needs? Can you be mindful of situations that are going on around you, both interpersonally, in the larger community, and then, of course, in the world? How can you make more space for your own mind to be focused where it belongs? How can you be more mindful?
So good.
Thich Nhat Hanh, you know who Thich Nhat Hanh is?
Yes, rest in peace.
He passed away. He passed away not long ago, what, maybe like a month or two ago? Not long ago. This is a very amazing Buddhist monk, I think a God-realized person, so a guru, Vietnamese monk, who grew very old and passed away recently, but he's somebody that I quite admired. One of his first books was called Mindfulness, and he taught about how you don't have to really sit in on a pillow and meditate to meditate. Right? Like, you can go for a walk and teach yourself to pay attention to every step. So you can go for a walk. You can stand and do the dishes and pay attention to the movement of the sponge and the rinsing of the dish and the way you put it into the drying rack. So sometimes we do these things so automatically because our mind is bouncing all over the place, but we can have mindfulness in every action that we take. That's called awareness. Once you are mindful of every action that you take, then you become fully aware of the impact that you're having on the world around you. Fully mindful. Yeah. It's like it's a different state of consciousness from where I am or from where you are, I suppose. But like, I think that Virgo helps us get there because it helps us to stay analytical, right? And it shouldn't be judgmental. I think that's the sad part of the downside of Virgo. It shouldn't be just judgmental. It should just be mercurial, right? Mercury rules Virgo. It should be, what is the action that I want to take right now? It's about choices and not, oh, I made the wrong one. I didn't make one. I constantly in my head, second guessing everything that I did today. People who are Virgos, they say things like that. I'm always thinking back on every conversation that I had. Did I mess that up? Did I somehow say the wrong thing? Did I upset someone? What about that thing that they said that upset me? That's not what Virgo needs to be about. It needs to just be about, oh, I said that. was could that have been said better? It's more about an analysis rather than a critique.
Mm-hmm. Right. The ultimate goal is to have it work well, have it work smooth, have some work within the limit, but be the best within the limit. I mean, there's...
Right. Exactly.
And our world
Virgo,
is
Virgo
limited.
Virgo reminds me of science.
Yes. Of course.
It's not judgmental.
Right.
It is what it is. And it's a collection of truths, which I'm sure Virgo's very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collection of truths for the discovery of greater truths.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Reviewing and going over, and this truth must not be true anymore because of this.
Testing.
Mm-hmm.
Testing, experimenting, modifying, you know, setting up an experiment and seeing how it goes. I think people who have Virgo in their chart, they don't really think of it that way. They don't really see it that way because of that critical. The shadow side of it is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just allowing things to be what they are, whether they work out properly or whether they don't work out properly, the ego, which is, of course, the shadow side of every sign, when you attach the ego to the beautiful side of all the energies, then it has to be better than and worse than.
Uh-huh.
Right? Then it has to be selfish. Oh. Then it has to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, which is why, I mean, that's why we have Pisces as the opposite sign of Virgo. It's because Virgo needs a little bit of flow. Virgo needs a little bit of, you know, all acceptance, at least partially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a beautiful axis, which I call the axis of service. So that's another aspect to this full moon, is that Pisces offers an emotionally based understanding, a good shoulder to cry on, and Virgo will help you move across town. So Virgo can be very tangible in the service that they offer. Pisces can be very emotional in the service that they offer, but there is something about how can I help?
Yes.
Right? Like Virgo, how can I help? Pisces also, how can I help? In what way can I help? So-and-so needs me. How do you need me? What are the needs you have? I'll let you know whether I can meet those needs for you. Both of those signs are willing to do that. They definitely are not the top of the list of the selfish signs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another thing that we can connect with, right? How can we help? How can we help? How can we help each other? How can we be of help in the family that we're in? How can we be help on the global stage where there's so much suffering?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where can we help support? I mean, when people go through really tough times, it is such a relief to have another person there, both so you can cry on their shoulder and that they can make you a good meal, you know, meal plan you for the week.
Right.
It's incredibly supportive and helps you gets through a tough time. So why not have
that? And everybody's got tough times, right? We were talking about that before the show.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter really who you are or what stage you even are in your life. Everybody needs therapy because we all have something that we're taking a look at. And it doesn't have to be generated by crisis. We don't have to end up looking at ourselves and becoming more conscious and more aware through crisis. It's the way people operate. Yes, they're constantly drawn to self-reflection and self-discovery through crisis, but it doesn't have to be, that doesn't have to be the way that it is. People could choose it just for spiritual awakening, just for awakened consciousness.
Right. And ease of life. If you just want things to be work, you know, closer to how you want, what you enjoy, what brings you happiness, is doing a little bit of work towards that, little
more successful, more successful and more happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And you don't, I agree, you don't have to go through a crisis to get there or to learn the lesson to take the step. You could just take the step.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could just do a little declutter and have your
moment
of zen.
Do a little declutter, do a little service, be of some help to someone that you know needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice a little bit. Stop thinking about yourself so much because you're going to have an opportunity to think about yourself a lot soon.
With all the Aries energy, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the creative.
We live really. Don't we live in such a me, me, me culture, our culture? So
yes,
you look at the way the politicians are. You just like look at the way the politicians are and the suffering. You know, people can't be bothered. They can't be bothered with, you know, things that will put a depressing thought in their mind. Homelessness.
Uh-huh.
Human trafficking. And and wars of brutality.
Mm.
Those things are just too hard to think about.
Mm-hmm.
They might bring me down.
Mm-hmm. Right. So might as well pretend they don't exist until, what, a crisis happens to you? Right?
We yeah, don't want normally, that normally that's what happens. Normally,
yeah.
some people can, you know, like God, some people can have very remote and distant and be very unaffected. Some people are very cold. They really are. That's mm-hmm. always sad. If you ever meet anybody like that, that's so damaged that they can be unmoved by literally everything. Shut it down, make it go away. I don't have a lot of experience with that type of energy, but I certainly have met that before. And I find it to be really sad because I think it's about our humanity. Pisces, this four planets in Pisces, you know, and Neptune's not done with us for sure. And by the way, Saturn is going into Pisces next year. So we've got 2.5 years of some really heavy Pisces. Because Saturn in Pisces is heavy, heavy. Going to be a lot of martyrs this time around.
Oh, yes.
There are. There's going to be a lot of victims. Because it's trying to draw out our collective sense of empathy.
Yes.
You know, great. And we have so much of it right now, but it's going to go to a new level.
Well, we don't have any real, it kind of exists, but it's in the planets of Venus and Mars and Jupiter. So they're like a little bit, not Venus and Mars, but Jupiter and Mercury. They're like a little lighter. With Saturn, how are we responsible for the empathy that we have? That's a little tougher.
Karmic empathy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think when it went into Aquarius and we all ended up on Zoom and we all ended up being socially isolated, right? That was the karma of our social ways.
Yes.
Yeah. Now we're going to have the karma. Now we're going to have the karma of our collective avoidance.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But enough of that. Full moon energy is on tap, everybody. You want to be able to take advantage of it. Definitely make some notes. Make a to-do list. Find out what it is that you can do to get more organized for the spring. Offer to help someone. Find some charitable nature inside of yourself. Pay attention to your dreams. These are all good things, I think, Christina.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love it. I really like this. I mean, the you know, big fresh breath of air you get to take when you have a decluttered space. How nice is that? You just, there's, when you have an open, clean mind, an open, cleaned heart, an open, clean space, it feels good, and you can give more to others that way. So that's what this full moon is, can give us.
Yeah, it invites new energy. It invites new energy to come into the space. Very nice. I think it's very nice. Who's got moon in Virgo?
Yeah, it was, that's so funny. Reading my mind, I was just thinking, I wonder what celebrities we've got moon in Virgo. Moon in Virgo. People that feel emotionally fulfilled by being of service to others. How nice.
Madonna.
Hmm.
Do you think they're all perfectionistic?
Yes.
Some of them I would think are probably very service-oriented, right? Dolly Parton. She's very well put together.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrities with moon and Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy. Oh, sweet Betty White.
Oh, so nice.
Chris Hemsworth, he's pretty well put together.
Very, very. Yeah.
Serena.
Moon and Virgo.
Serena.
Perfect.
Serena, moon and Virgo. Robert Redford.
Rami Malek.
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yeah.
He was a beautiful person. Who do you see? Who do you like? I love Amy Adams.
I was just saying, I love Lorde, too. She's a great singer. Zac Efron's really a put-together person, attractive person.
Maggie Smith. Who does she play in Harry Potter?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember. She's
one of the main professors. Yeah, she plays the main, one of the main professors. Yeah, sorry, that's bad. That's a what you call a cultural deficit.
She plays
Minerva McGonagall.
Yes.
Professor McGonagall. Yeah.
Professor McGonagall. Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yes.
I think, I'm pretty sure she's still alive.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay, the chef. Right?
Oh, right. There's that critical bit.
Yeah.
A little maybe too critical. Mm-hmm.
Oh, these people are so put together. Courtney Cox, Clive Owen.
Toni Collette. Yes.
Billy Nye. Sweet Billy. The science guy. And I said it was about science. That's funny. yeah. Many blessings for the new moon. It's a peak. It's a peak of energy as we go into the depths of a new cycle, the Aries cycle. We'll have the new moon show 2 weeks from today. Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Inside Connection. I'm Craig Martin, here with Christina Martin. You can find us here on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. We're live from L.A., where we do a show every week on the auspicious and secret energy of astrology and how you can get the most out of the alignment with the stars. Join us here next week. We'll be here. You can find us at Sage of Stars or the Los Angeles Astrology School. We have a really good night. Good night.
Good night, everyone.